Surely God didn't want or expect his children to stand helpless while their families were murdered and their homes were burned over their heads. Innocent men had every right to seek the means to protect themselves against someone else's attack. And no matter what the church might officially say, Wilson knew the attack on Karras had been totally unjustified. Not that he was particularly surprised by the claims to the contrary coming out of Zion and the temple. Saddened and disgusted, yes, but not surprised. Despite his own deep and abiding faith, Pater Wilson had never had any illusions about the corruption of the Group of Four and of the Council of Vicars in general. "No, that isn't quite right," he told himself harshly. "You did cherish at least some illusions, didn't you? Like the illusion that not even the Grand Inquisitor would set out to destroy an entire kingdom just because it irritated him." He'd thought, prayed, and meditated in the wake of that decision of Clinton's, and he'd finally come to the conclusion that what was happening here in Karras was God's will. However uncomfortable, however worrisome he might find Archbishop Michael's beliefs, there was no question in his mind that the Archbishop of Karras stood far closer to the mind of God than the Grand Inquisitor. Michael Stainer might be mistaken. He was not evil. And that was no longer something Wilson could say of Zaspar Clinton and the rest of the Group of Four. And, truth to tell, Wilson had become steadily more confident that Stainer wasn't mistaken either. The implications of that, and the monumental changes in Wilson's own understanding of Scripture and doctrine inherent in them, were frightening. But God had never promised doing his will would be easy. And so Father Pater Wilson, intendant of Karras, ordained priest of the Order of Schuler, found himself here, sitting in an office in a building specifically dedicated to encouraging people to think of new ways to do things. He shook his head, lips twitching in a half smile at the thought. Then he stood and crossed to one of his new windows, gazing out it into the afternoon. The patent office had been housed in a building which belonged to Baron Ironhill's ministry. The keeper of the purse had rather more to do in Karras than in many of Safehold's other kingdoms, and Ironhill had moved his main staff to a considerably larger building the previous year. This one might have been too small for Ironhill's needs, yet it had a plethora of offices, many of them no larger than a moderately small closet, in which the new patent office, which also belonged to Ironhill's ministry, at least for the moment, could tuck away the innumerable clerks it was likely to require. It was also surrounded by mature near-oak and pine trees, which provided a welcome shade. And the low wall around it was patrolled night and day by rifle-armed Marines. Wilson's mouth tightened as he watched the afternoon sun glitter on the bayonets of the Marines stationed by the patent office gates. Their presence, along with what had happened to the Royal College's original home, was a grim reminder that not everyone agreed with his own assessment of events here in Karras. The thought that he had to be protected from people who thought of themselves as loyal sons of Mother Church was disturbing. But so was the fate the Inquisition had dealt out to Eric Dinis. No easy answers, he thought. The writ says God tests those he loves, and I've always believed that's true. But usually what he wants of me is simple enough to recognize quickly. Not easy to do, maybe, but simple enough to recognize. He drew a deep breath. It was time to put the second-guessing aside. He was here not to encourage innovation. God knew there were already plenty of Carisians energetically doing that, but to ensure that none of the newly patented processes or concepts violated the prescriptions of Zhuozhang. That much he could do with no qualms at all. And what do you do when you've seen so many new processes and concepts flow across your desk that the prescriptions began to erode even for you, Peter? He asked himself. How do you say stop after you become part of telling people that change is good? His Eminence is right. On faith and obedience, does say there are times when change is good, even necessary. But if this is one of those times, where will it end? And who will you be when you get there? Those were questions he had no answers to, yet. But there were times when any man, especially a priest, simply had to trust God to bring him to the proper final destination. Peter Wilson straightened his shoulders, crossed to the door of his new office, and looked out it at the porter for this floor. Father Bryan told me he's assembled several candidates for me to interview as potential clerks, he said calmly. Would you be kind enough to ask the first of them to step into my office?